Aaron, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Hope you've had an amazing week. We're moving on swiftly through October. And as you are probably aware from many of the shows we've done this month, particularly, we have been focusing a little bit on the feet and their importance with diabetes. And we're not going to move from that because they are so important. It is so many people around the world have complications with them. You will have heard me saying before, the number of amputations that take place every year is about 1.5 million. That's one every 20 seconds. You might think that you are immune to that. But actually, if you have diabetes, particularly if you're not controlling it very well, then there are risks associated with your feet. And it pays to be having exemplary foot health to make sure that you don't fall into the category of being somebody at high risk. And if you are at high risk of problems, then it really pays to look after your feet incredibly vigilantly. Anyway, we are going to be talking to a gentleman later on, a doctor from the United States, and we're going to be talking about actually not the feet as such, but the calf muscles. We've had him on the show before, and the calf muscles can have a direct impact on pressures through the feet, and particularly with diabetes can lead to some quite devastating things. So it's quite a simple concept, stretching your calves and helping you to maintain good foot health. So we're going to be looking at that shortly. Before we do that, we're going to have a quick look at some of the items in news. Again, I'm going to go to diabetes.co.uk's website. They do all the hard work for me. They post these things on their site, these news items, and I go there and I can pick them up and share with you any new ones that have come out. But our interview is pretty long today, so I am just going to skim through the titles and then you can go to the website www.diabetes.co.uk/news and find all of them and read up on any more that any of you are interested in, want to hear more about. So the first one we're going to look at is severe depression often triggered by insulin resistance, evidence shows. So many of us with type 2, many people who haven't even developed type 2 yet have already started to get some insulin resistance. And even in type 1, you can develop it as well. And insulin resistance, apparently, there seems to be a link between those that have got that and developing depression. So do have a look at that one, both to maybe prevent and also to maybe manage depression better by reducing your insulin resistance, which is definitely possible. Next one, biggest reduction in life expectancy since World War II shows the devastating impact of COVID-19. Wow, there's some study done on, I think, 29 different countries, and 27 of out of the 29 have shown that there's an increased mortality rate, the biggest one since World War II. Next one, couples often have similar body shapes, blood pressure levels, and incidence of some diseases, a new study shows. I'll leave you to read up on that one. Some of it I felt was actually, you know, fairly obvious, shall we say. Quite likely that you're going to be on a similar sort of lifestyle, diet and possibly exercise regime, and therefore quite likely to be more prone to some of those illnesses. Last one, medication-resistant hypertension improved by healthy lifestyle modifications. Have a read of that one. If you're somebody who's got blood pressure, been taking medication, and it doesn't seem to be improving at all, i.e. you're resistant to the medications, then this study shows that if you can follow a nutritious diet and take part in regular exercise, then actually that will work better than the medications that haven't been working. And that's pretty much it. We are going to go straight into a song now, which has been chosen by my guest of the day, Dr. Jim Amis, and it's a band called The Temper Traps, and it's called Sweet Disposition.
Sweet
so that was A Sweet Disposition by the Temper Traps, and that was chosen by our guest today. And our guest today here on UK Health Radio, the Diabetes Show, is none other than Dr. James Amis from over in the States. James, welcome to the show, or can I call you Jim?
You better call me Jim.
I know you sign off as Jim all the time, so I know that LinkedIn says James. So,
well, you got to do it official, but no, it's Jim. Thank you.
Great to have you on the show. You are an orthopedic surgeon, non-practicing now, I believe?
That's correct.
Okay, but you did for 35 years or so?
Well, including my residency, yeah, 35 years, 31 years in you know, as in practice.
Yeah, okay. And some of your residency was over here in the UK as well, I believe, or?
I did 6 months at St. Bart's, so you can call me a Bart's man.
Okay, and I might get rid of a few of our listeners here, anyone who isn't a Tottenham Hotspur fan, because you were involved with being doctor for them as well.
Yeah.
So the fans are all sort of on your side, but there's probably quite a few who aren't their fans. Anyway, it's great to have you on the show. That song, Sweet Disposition, there, Temper Traps, tell us why you chose that, because that was your choice, not mine.
Well, I dabble at guitar, and so I have a very specific, or actually pretty wide interest in guitars and guitar playing, and I like that group, and I like the singer. He's got a great voice. They're an Aussie band, and the guitar riff in it is really good.
Great. Okay. Well, it's always good to get different people bringing in their musical taste as well as their expertise. So thank you for...
I like that part of the show.
Thank you for adding that into it.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
Now, you became a medical doctor, as we just mentioned, back in 1980, I believe. And then just tell us a little bit about your journey. You know, what was it sort of like? You was forced down your throat as a child, or was it a childhood passion to become a doctor? What was your journey?
No, actually, I was an art major in college, and I had two guys rooming together down the hall at a dorm at my college in Texas, and they were pre-med, and they kept saying, you should try to go pre-med. And I'm like, don't even know any doctors in my life. Never had one in family. And that's not going to happen. And then I changed colleges the next year and decided just kind of on a whim, let's take some science. And I loved science for the first time, and it took off. So the med school thing started late for me, sort of.
Wow. Okay. And then you specialized in orthopedics. Was that something which was a natural progression? Just that's what you resonated with you?
Yeah, I actually in the summers between college, I was a scrub tech in the OR to get myself kind of up to speed and kind of see what it was about, because I didn't know anything about medicine or surgery. And in my residency at Parkland in Dallas, I knew quite a bit about surgery, and I knew I pretty much wanted to do surgery. And one day I walked into the surgeon's lounge, and there were two guys sitting on a sofa reading their journals, and they looked a little bit depressed. And there were three guys over on the floor wrestling and having a fight, a row, you know. And I looked at them and I kind of thought, those are my guys on the floor. And they were orthopedic surgeons. So that's kind of how I picked it. I picked it for other, reasons, but that was kind of the final straw. I said, these are the guys, you know, you don't choose it. It kind of chooses you. And mm-hmm. I like the people I was associating with. And I think you could probably say the same thing about your profession too.
Yes, yeah. Although I sort of fell into it, but we won't. My listeners have heard that before, so I won't go there. I could have ended up doing teeth, put it that way. but actually, I think I'm glad I'm doing. Well, I'm definitely glad I'm doing feet. I've got a real passion for helping my patients the way I do. Now you're now a health and safe. No, not health, it's a medical safety officer with one of the Johnson & Johnson companies. Do you want to just very briefly just say a little bit about that?
Yeah, two things kind of came to confluence about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Practice in the States was changing, becoming employed, and I did not want to do that. And what I will talk about, Aquinas, was starting to kind of put my surgical practice out of business because I was becoming so good at it and it was becoming so effective. So I said, this opportunity came along just out of nowhere. And I said, my wife's fantastic. And I said, you want to make a change? She goes, sure, let's go for it. So I went to work for Synthes, which is a company of Johnson & Johnson here in Philadelphia area of Pennsylvania.
Cool. And I think it's probably fair for me to say that you sort of, with your orthopedic practice, you sort of buck the trend a little bit in as much as what we're going to be talking about, this Aquinas. You had some very different thoughts to the mainstream, get in there and chop it open and sort it out surgically. Stalking you a little bit, looking at your LinkedIn page there, and I noticed there your mission, which I'm just going to read out for the listeners there, and it says, Jim says it's his personal mission to completely change and improve the health of the adult foot and ankle through daily calf stretching, no matter the method. Stretching is powerful medicine and definitive treatment aimed at the root cause. I totally agree in the benefits of stretching, and I recommend it to my patients quite a lot. Not just calf stretches, but yeah, all types of stretches, but I agree the calf is a major muscle group that does very often need it. Please tell the listeners why the calf is so important and you know, why you hit onto it.
Wow, that's a big subject for me, but I'll try to start somewhere. But let me just say that. Everybody wants to make everything complicated and multifactorial, multifaceted. And I guess I was brought up differently. I tend to try to find one root cause for a lot of things. And if I could contribute to the medical world and people in general, would be that it is possible there is one activity you could do to make your foot and ankle better preventatively as well as treatment. And that's where I'm coming from. I the idea of doing, I actually wrote a blog one time called What Lonnie Soloff Taught Me. He's the head trainer for the Cleveland Indians now baseball team. And briefly, showed him my shoulder down at spring training and I said, give me an exercise to work on it. And he said, well, you have impingement. And he went in the back, came out with 16 exercises on a piece of paper. And I said, Lonnie, I'm not doing 16 exercises. I'm not a professional baseball player. I want one. So he picked out the one. And that kind of summarizes where I'm coming from. I don't doubt there are other things that can be done, no doubt, both palliative or to help symptoms, as well as treatment of the root cause. And there's many different ways to stretch. But that's where I come from. Most people can't handle doing more than one thing at one time.
Yeah, I agree. Keep it simple.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, wherever possible. Okay, so when I'm examining patients, I'll often joke with people, let's see how much like a horse you are. The kids love it. Well, if they're horse lovers, they love it. If they're a teenage girl who isn't a horse lover, they don't like it. We've mentioned the term Aquinas, both of us, a couple of times already in the show. There's going to be listeners who are thinking, did he say wine or winus or Aquinas? Just explain what we are actually talking about to the listeners there, and maybe some of the causes of it.
So Aquinas is tippy toed. I'll say your heel comes up and the front of your foot goes down. And we're talking about functional Aquinas, not, you know, some people have one that's so tight. You've seen people with strokes, you've seen them as patients, and those people have a serious problem. But Aquinas we're talking about is very subtle and virtually unknown to the person who has it. They're not aware of it at all. And it's just a tightening of the calf and there's a certain, what happens is mechanically, there is a certain amount of calf laxity or freedom of movement that is required for us to move forward in our gait. Unlike a horse or a dog or most quadrupeds, they stand on their toes. And that thing you think is their ankle, when you look at them from the side, is actually their heel bone sticking up in the air. So they stand on their tiptoes. We stand, what made us bipedal in evolution is that we brought our heel to the ground and we can stand flat on our foot and walk with 2 feet instead of four. So Aquinas is just a tightening of the calf. That's, I mean, very simply put, that's what it is.
That's what we're talking about here. There is a sort of bony type as well, isn't there, where the heel to forefoot is in a different position, which we would also term Aquinas. But we're talking more about the subtle changes that take place because of the calf muscle being tight. Okie doke. So hopefully the listeners are now thinking, well, okay, so I sometimes get tightness in my calves or whatever. But what are some of the complications that can occur that, you know, maybe the listeners will prick up their ears and think, I wonder if it's tight calves that's causing my problem. What are some of the problems they could be getting?
Well, by and far, the most common is plantar fasciitis. That's heel pain, heel spurs, which you and I both know it's not heel spurs that causes it, but is an effect from it. It's no wonder people are online, on Facebook and everywhere else looking for multitude of solutions, and everybody's got their own little answer. But I think my colleagues would agree with me, but I'm absolutely convinced that plantar fasciitis, the primary cause of the great majority of those cases, is Aquinas. And the interesting thing is, as I said, it's unknown to the holder of it, the person. And so they're not going to know to stretch. And so they'll try everything else because the calf is not near the foot. Why, you know, you've had this before, you'll tell them to stretch for plantar fasciitis and they'll say, why would I stretch my calf when my problem's down in my heel? And I understand that. I get that completely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They sort of look at you blankly. Well, what? I came because of my, and then usually when you explain it to them, they get it eventually. I think you know, that's definitely one of the factors in my first port of call to try and treat plantar fasciitis is definitely calf stretching, the regime that I try to get them, try and put in place for them. So plantar fasciitis, there's other issues as well with overloading of the forefoot that can occur with it.
You can get a lot of metatarsalgia or pain under the metatarsal heads. Idiopathic, meaning we don't know why it occurs. It just happens for no reason. These little old ladies with midfoot arthritis, I've solved thousands of these patients problems that we're looking at a midfoot fusion with just simple stretching. And it works quick for them. Posterior tib tendon dysfunction or an acquired flat foot. That's where you're 50, 60 years old and you start having pain. And I'm just explaining for the listeners. And all of a sudden your foot starts going flat. Absolutely convinced the major cause of that is Aquinas or a cap being too tight.
All right. Okay. Cool. So there's quite a few things that the listeners can be thinking, yeah, actually, you know what, maybe I should stretch my calves because he's just mentioned a few things that sounds like I might have. You know, they know that their foot is flattening out or they're getting that 4 foot pain or they've got plantar fasciitis. Now, let's just stick to plantar fasciitis for a minute because I know from reading your some of your articles and your blogs, I know that you are an advocate not just for stretching the calf for plantar fasciitis, but for actually stretching the plantar fasciitis, well, plantar fascia at the same time, which actually is something which I get my patients to do, not having really thought about it that much, to be honest, but I do get them to do it at the same time. Tell me why you came to that conclusion and what you find there.
Are you asking that I promote plantar fascial stretching?
I think from my understanding of your blog, you promote simultaneous stretching of the calf muscle and the plantar fascia.
The only reason I would is because I think it probably speeds up the process.
Okay.
But I'm not a big proponent of plantar fascial stretching. And if you look at Benedict DiGiovanni's work, he's an orthopedic surgeon here in the United States. He's the one that made it popular. He wrote two articles, one in 2003 and one in 2006. And more or less in 2011, he didn't refute those articles. I guarantee he did not refute them, but he woke up to the idea of Aquinas, and now he's a big proponent of Aquinas treatment. Most of the orthopedic surgeons choose to operate on it, but he's a big proponent of that. And I just don't think that's of that much value. I think it does work, but in my opinion, if you're going to go after the root cause, go after the root cause. And I don't think it's the plantar fascia being tight. I'm sure it's a little bit tight, and it doesn't hurt to do it. But it's doing two things now, not one, as we discussed before.
Yeah, I the way I tackle it, because obviously with plantar fasciitis, often the pain is worse first thing in the morning when you do get out of bed and you've relaxed. And for the listeners, yeah, when you're relaxed asleep, you think all your muscles are going nice and floppy, but actually they're not working, so their things are tightening up. And then you step down, and suddenly there's a tug, and it sparks the whole process off again. So what I get my listeners, hopefully my listeners who've got plantar fasciitis, but my patients, what I get them to do is before they literally get out of bed, I get them to have a scarf by the side of their bed. Long, doesn't have to be woolen, but a long scarf. I find that better than an exercise band because an exercise band tends to stick to the skin. And what I get them to do is while they're lying down, I actually get them to stretch for two muscles at once, well, for two areas at once. So they hook the scarf over the end of their toes, and then they are literally pulling the foot towards them with their leg really straight. So that's putting a stretch on the back of the gastroc before they get out of bed. And then they continue doing that, but they drop the scarf down a little bit. And whilst they're doing the pull towards them, they're pulling either side of the, or either end of the scarf. So it's creating this sort of massaging under the arch of
the reins on a, like pulling like a reins on a horse.
Yeah. It's appropriate being Aquinas. I'll use that in future. And I find that really helps. I get them to do a few other things as well, which I won't go into right now necessarily. I'll whet the listeners' appetites for that. I find that helps quite a lot. Now, I usually focus on the gastroc, and I know that from reading some of your stuff, it seems to be the gastroc you focus on a lot. What about the soleus muscle as well? Because that obviously attaches to the Achilles as well. Does that play a part with Aquinas as well? Or?
Yeah, the soleus, no matter how you stretch, you're going to stretch the soleus. I mean, I know people like to do the against the wall and bend their knee and stretch the soleus. And the soleus probably plays a more role in the more advanced Aquinas, the symptomatic ones. But if you're going to stretch the gastroc, which is with a straight knee, you and I both know that, you're stretching the soleus as well. But you've probably read my one article about the split second effect. And I truly believe the gastroc is a point of concern, because when you get to that certain point of your gait, that's when the gastroc goes into action and really causes a lot of abnormal forces placed upon the foot.
And perhaps actually at this point, we should just point out to the listeners where the gastroc is, because they're thinking, what's the gastroc? The gastroc medius is the muscle at the top of your calf, that bulky bit at the top of your calf below the knee. And it's got two sort of bellies to it on either side. And that's another of my questions, actually, because they often do a surgical release of the parts if it gets particularly bad. And that's usually, is that just the medial belly? I know the release is called medial, whatever it's called.
In the past, it was by Baroque, and he advocated a proximal medial gastroc release. It's done back behind your knee, and it's only the medial one. And you've probably treated any number of people with gastrocnemius ruptures, not of the tendon, but of the medial head. And they always occur in the medial head. So we know that that's the one that gets preferentially tight. But there's, my gosh, as you know, there are many ways to lengthen the Achilles tendon. But that seems to be the more late one, and you can walk on it right away. It's a very pleasing procedure to be done. But in my opinion, it only needs to be done rarely, because stretching usually gets the job done.
So you are suggesting then that if there's somebody listening right now and they've got plantar fasciitis, I suppose it needs to be diagnosed as plantar fasciitis, because it could be other things as well, that they should maybe try calf stretching. It's not going to do any harm, is it, for them to try it?
You hit the nail on the head. I'd go one step further. And I may lose you some business here. I'm sorry.
I know what you're going to say.
I would say anybody that starts to have pain in their foot of any kind, especially if it's related to pain when you first get out of bed in the morning, even if it's not in your heel, why not stretch? I mean, it's stretch your calves, just start doing it, and I think you'll be quite surprised. But definitely for plantar fasciitis.
I actually thought you were going to go even a step further than that.
No, you can't.
you can't. You could suggest that. I'm sorry. You could suggest that even if they haven't got the beginnings of any foot pain, that actually it's not a bad idea to get into the habit of stretching, particularly as you advance in years, to prevent a problem ever occurring.
Thank you for doing that for me. it's yet to be shown virtually in any literature, but I look forward to a day 10, 20 years from now when two things happen. Some people will stretch preventatively and they'll live a better life for it. And I look forward to the day when someone says, you know, on the street, hey, you're limping. Yeah, I got heel pain. Don't you know to stretch? No, I've never heard of it. Well, everybody knows to stretch. I just hope it becomes common knowledge. That's all. That's my mission right there.
Hmm. Yeah, I must confess, I don't sort of tell all my patients. I mean, I have patients coming into me with, you know, calluses and things like that. I don't tell everyone to stretch, but I probably should do. I stretch myself. I do that similar stretch to what I just shared. You know, I had plantar fasciitis once a long, long time ago. But I still do that stretch. For me, what I do with that is I lift my leg up, keeping it straight, so I'm bringing the hamstrings into it as well a bit. I do it every morning. It annoys my wife, but
I do it every morning.
The other thing that happens is recurrence, and it's interesting, and I bet you've seen this in your patients, but I'll have a patient, and I've experienced this literally 2 or 3,000 times. A patient I saw 6 years ago for plantar fasciitis, they stretched, they got over it, and they come back, and now they've got midfoot pain, or they got a beginnings of a posterior tibialis tendonitis. It's a type of, that's the one that leads to a flat foot. But, and they'll come in and they'll say, well, I kept my appointment. My pain is actually almost gone because I started stretching about 3 weeks ago. I remembered you told me to do it. And I thought, well, it can't hurt. It may be related. I just wanted to come in and see if I was doing the right thing. And I'm like, absolutely, you're doing the right thing. So they kind of teach themselves in a way, but that's, you know, two separate problems from the same root cause.
And for those of you that don't know about posterior tibial tendonitis, the posterior tibial tendon is one that comes, if you hold onto your foot right now, go touch the inside of your ankle, the ankle bone there, the posterior tibial tendon comes around the back of that and then down and around to sort of the midfoot area under, well, on the side of the arch and under the arch there. So it wraps around there and it supports the arch and yeah, you know, obviously, if it ruptures or if it lengthens and gets becomes damaged, weakened, then your arch is, as Jim rightly said, is going to start collapsing, and you get this acquired adult flat foot can do. Brilliant. Okay, so we've talked a fair bit about things there. I'm probably going to put this on the Foot Health Show as well as the Diabetes Show, to be honest. But for those with diabetes around here. I know that you, as I do, believe that actually having Aquinas is quite a serious, or can be a serious problem. It can lead to some very, very serious issues with the feet. Would you like to just, I know you can go on for ages, we'll do a separate show on this, but just briefly, just mention what things it could potentially cause in a person with diabetes?
We know for a fact that it causes forefoot ulcers under particularly the first and second metatarsal heads. And those ulcers are called malperforans ulcers. And they're long-term pressure sores is what they are. Okay. And we know that the force on the front of the foot is increased because you're walking more on your toes. You're not walking on your toes. The other significant problem in diabetics with neuropathy, peripheral neuropathy, that's loss of their feeling in their foot, is Charcot joint or a collapse of the arch. It's a devastating problem, as we both know. And I truly believe that the forerunner of that and the cause of it is Aquinas.
Okay. But so it would make sense for people with diabetes, as we said earlier, for anyone really to stretch, but people with diabetes particularly, it would make sense for them to stretch their calf muscles.
I would forewarn, though, if they stretch, they start off very easy because they could be on the verge of having this and it could be work in reverse and cause it to happen, that they would start very easy and make sure the arch of their foot's on a step or whatever they're stretching on and not the end of their foot. Trying to get that massive stretch, you know, where they're trying to get it all done at one time. So start off easy and build up slow.
So avoid, you know, you see online people stepping up, standing on the edge of a step and dropping their heels down. Avoid that type of aggressive stretch for somebody with diabetes initially, at least.
Yeah, maybe in time they could get to that, but not right away. Yes.
Yeah, cool.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now. So please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
It's just putting in more than a minute a day. And, right. And you skip a day, it's okay. I mean, so what?
Having something like an incline board or like the one stretch, of course, does mean that you're not going to get people doing what you see so often. You know, when I ask them, are you stretching your calves? Yeah. Show me how you do it. And they get against the wall, and then they're leaning against the wall, but they're rocking backwards and forwards. It's sort of, oh, no, please. So having an incline board or one stretch it means you've got that constant stretch on as long as you're on it.
Absolutely, yeah. Good. And it's a reminder.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, unlike a treadmill, you can't hang clothes on it.
I'm not in my conservatory at home where my treadmill is. How could you see it? It's covered in.
That's what treadmills sometimes are good for. They're great. Everybody should use one if they have one, but it is a reminder.
Cool. Okie dokes. Well, I'm going to have to shoot off in a minute because I've got another patient coming in shortly. But before we do, I do need you to let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you. If you want them to get in touch with you, maybe if you want to give you a website or whatever other means you want them to find you.
Yeah, I definitely get emails off my website. And it just type in one stretch, onestretch. Just like it sounds, onestretch.com, and they'll get to it. And then there's a link on there to pose a customer question.
Okay.
And I will answer them.
But at the moment, it's really listeners in the US that can actually, if they decide to purchase one of those, could actually purchase, yeah?
We do international shipping, but it's ridiculous. I would say make one yourself or do something else, but it's out of sight.
Okay. Okay, well, have you got anything else you're itching to say that I haven't asked you that we should have got across today, or we can wait to have a...
No, I think you have covered it so well. You're obviously skilled at this.
I don't know about that, but anyway, what we need to just finish with, of course, is obviously to say thank you very, very much for your time and coming on. And definitely we'll have you on again to talk about more in more detail about the diabetes side of things, maybe complications. But you chose another song, which is a brilliant song. This is one I definitely knew. But I'd like you to introduce it to the listeners and maybe why you chose it as well. Please, Jim.
Well, it's Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. And it's just it's got one of the best, two guitar solos of all time. It shows you that you don't have to play fast. You just have to play with passion. And David Gilmour is one of the best of all time. And I really enjoy that song. And I like the meaning behind it. Everybody thinks it's about drugs, but it's not. It's about him being a kid having a fever at one point in his life.
Okay. Well, interesting. I haven't actually read the meaning of it. I've used it on diabetic shows before, you know, obviously with the neuropathy where you're comfortably numb.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Ah, yeah. Uh-huh. I half expected you to get your guitar out and start strumming along, but we'll leave it to David to do that for us. Jim, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. As I say, we'll get you back on again sometime soon.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay, take good care.
You too. Bye. Get you on your feet again.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olson with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.